Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In Cicero's work on fate, he's considering a fundamental metaphysical question, namely that of freedom and determinism, freedom of the human being in their willings, actions, desires, assents, all these sorts of things that we typically attribute to ourselves. And the question is any of this truly free, or is all of this determined, even fated, by causes, perhaps those that we don't know, but causes that would exist and which would necessitate everything that we do? And one of the key thinkers that he examines in there and really identifies with is Carneades, who was one of the heads or scholarks of the academic skeptic school, that is Plato's Academy, after it had taken a skeptical turn before it came back to Platonism in Middle Platonism. And Cicero himself typically identifies himself with this school. That doesn't mean some sort of strict party line identification, but he certainly seems to be taking Carneades' line in this. And what does this thinker have to say? You can, I suppose, summarize it by the statement that there is human freedom, and human freedom exists within a universe that Carneades has no problem saying is largely deterministic, largely fated, largely a connection of causes, but the human being, in some respects, escapes that. And perhaps their volitions and actions go right back into that causality or causal matrix. He doesn't clarify at this point. We don't have any writings of Carneades to tell one way or the other. Cicero considers what he has to say at three points. So let's look at the first set of points. Carneades maintains that there is some voluntary motion of the mind. Now, for it to be voluntary motion, and he uses that word in the Latin, means that we're choosing it, means that we're responsible for it, means that it's not completely determined, but it could be other. We choose between possibilities, we endorse some of them, we commit to some of them, and that is what, at least with some of the voluntary motions of the mind, he's not saying every motion of the mind is indeed like this. There could be all sorts of automatic thoughts based on habit, based on instinct, but at least some of them are free and up to us. Or as Cicero will say here, in our power. In notre potestate, right? And these motions are not as with the Epicureans, without a cause. In fact, they do have some sort of cause. So we do have causality working within the universe and within ourselves. But when we will, or when we will against, Latin has two words, vela, to will, to choose, to select, to, in some respects, to go forward with your will, and then nola, to be unwilling, to choose against, to say no to something, right? Whenever we're doing that, Cicero is saying that it's not as if it doesn't have a cause at all, but it doesn't have to have what he calls an external and antecedent cause for the willing that we do. In a certain respect, although this is not clarified very well here, willing is self-causing. And so Carneades points out, as Cicero is going to have us see, a very important point, that we don't have to look at every single cause as being of the same sort. So he says that when we use the expression somebody wishes or does not wish, that's vela or nola, something without cause, we're perverting, we're changing the meanings of the accepted convention of language. We're using the phrase without cause in a restricted sense, in the sense of without an external, something from the outside, without an external antecedent cause, not without a cause of some kind. And he says, just like when we say a vessel is empty, we don't use the expression in the sense in which it's used by the natural philosophers who hold that no absolute vacuum exists, but we say it just doesn't have oil in it or grain or wine or whatever. So similar when we say that the mind moves without cause, we're speaking in a somewhat sloppy way. What we really mean is that it moves without an antecedent external cause, not without any cause at all. And so our own will, our own choice, what it is that we do would be the cause in that case. Now, moving on, Carneades is going to make an argument that is going to open up some scope for human freedom. And it runs like this. If everything takes place with antecedent causes, causes that come before it, and if the cause is there, the effect has to be produced, right? If everything takes place with antecedent causes, then all events take place in a closely knit web of natural interconnection. And this is something that quite a few philosophers would accept, that if there are, in fact, these antecedent causes, and they do, in fact, produce their effects, everything is all connected together in this massive nexus of causal interconnections. So far, so good. What are the implications of that? If that's the case, then, he says, all events are caused by necessity. That is a problem, because if everything is caused by necessity, then how do we have any scope for human freedom? If it really was the case that everything happened by necessity, by external causes, external antecedent causes, then nothing would be in our own power. Nothing would be up to us. Nothing would be within our control. We wouldn't actually be deciding in any real sense. We might feel like we're deciding, but we're not really making a decision because you could say the decision has already been made by the universe itself or by whatever is necessitating us. We're not the ones actually making any decisions. But, Carneades goes on, some things are, in fact, in our power. And so what are those things that are in our power? Well, Cicero discusses at one point our desires as being potentially in our power. Now, of course, that doesn't mean every single desire that we have is in our power, but he calls it appetitus, right? So our appetites, our desires are somewhat within our power. But our volitions, our choices, our willings, that's definitely in our power. That's what it means to be volitional. That's what it means to be voluntary, that it's up to us, that it's within our power. When we say, well, you couldn't have chosen anything else given the circumstances, and we really, really mean it, we're saying the person didn't really have a choice, and it's not volitional or voluntary. It's involuntary, right? If I try to punch at you and you jerk back all of a sudden, your body's doing that, that's not volitional. But if you're a well-trained fighter and I punch at you and you choose to like block it instead and then do some sort of counter, that is volitional, even if it could be the result of habit and training. So some things are in our power. Well, that's a problem for determinism. Not a problem for determinism across the board. And I should mention here that this argument doesn't say that everything is totally random or nothing can be predicted. As a matter of fact, it could be that 99.99999, however decimal points you want, of the things within the universe are strictly determined by causal necessity or fate. But so long as there's that little bit, so long as there's one human being making voluntary choices or decisions, there's something that is actually up to us that escapes that web of causal necessity. So what's the conclusion to that? He says, if all events take place by fate, there are antecedent causes of all events. So it's not the case that whatever events take place by fate. Some things are not fated. Could be that almost everything is, but some things are not, and those are the things that, in a certain respect, count the most. Now, he draws, and this is the third point, some very interesting conclusions from this, and Carneades here is arguing really against the Stoics and against other people. The Stoics had thought that there really was a necessity that ruled everything, and this is why divination or consulting the gods is efficacious. You can find out what is going to happen in the future. Carneades says, no, the god Apollo, who's the god of prophecy, can't actually tell you as much as you think. He can, in fact, tell you, because he can know, about things whose causes are so connected by nature that they must necessarily happen. So, you know, what would be an example of that? He doesn't provide any here, but you could say, well, if you light, you know, this match within these circumstances, it will start a fire. There's probably some sort of exceptions to that, but let's pretend that there aren't any exceptions to that. Apollo could know that. But does that really do him any good? No, because when it comes to all the things that people consult Apollo about, those tend to be about what we typically call contingent rather than necessary events. So Carneades says that Apollo can't tell any future events except for these. And he says, what consideration could lead the god himself to say that Marcellus, who is 3 times consul, was going to die at sea? This had indeed been true from all eternity, but it had no efficient causes. So Carneades held the view that Apollo had no knowledge even of these past events, which had left behind them no trace of their passage. How much less had he had knowledge of future events? For only by knowing the efficient causes of things, the causes that necessitate things to be in a certain way, was it possible to know the future. So he says, it was impossible for Apollo to foretell the fate of Oedipus when there were no causes foreordained in the nature of things, making it necessary for him to murder his father, nor could he foretell anything of the sort. So Carneades here is denying the capacity to predict on the part of a god who presumably would know way more about the universe and causes than we human beings do in our limited scope of affairs. So what we have here is not only a defense of some measure of freedom of choice or of the will, but some explanation about how this can be the case and how there can still be causality rather than mere randomness or indeterminacy provided by Carneades as Cicero is representing him. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.